Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. If the sound quality is not as good as it should be, well, blame Verizon. They have put down our radio line, at least for the moment. They're having technical difficulties, but the show must go on. So hopefully you can hear me well enough to talk about today's topic, because it's a happy topic. You know, I do a lot of really unhappy topics, everything from Donald Trump to the crisis in Syria. But today's show is called Happy Days Are Here Again. You may remember, or at least know, before my time too, that Happy Days Are Here Again was the campaign slogan for Franklin Delano Roosevelt after the Great Depression. And indeed, Happy Days Are Here Again. There's a front page story in the Washington Post, and it says, sharp increase in Americans' wages. The gains in income are the largest in decades. And what the gains show, what the article shows, the household income, we're doing better for rich people, we're doing better for middle-class people, and we're doing better for poor people. Indeed, this is even better than under the Clinton years, when we also did really well at all levels of income. In fact, and I'm reading from the article now, middle-class Americans and the poor in 2016 in decades, according to the Census Bureau. Median household income stood at $56,500, 5.2% from the $53,000 or so in 2014. This 5.2% increase is the largest since the Census Bureau started tracking the statistic in 1967. That's right, the best economic data for the country in 50 years. Incomes increased among all racial groups, all ethnic groups, among men, among women. In fact, the pay gap for women has narrowed to a record low. Women now earn 80 cents full-time work for every dollar that men earn. And if that sounds bad, well, it's still bad, but it's the highest women have ever gotten in American history. Poverty rate fell 1.2 percentage points, the steepest decline again in 50 years since Lyndon Johnson was president. There were still 43 million Americans in poverty, but 3.5 million fewer than in 2014. That's pretty dramatic, folks. We went from 47 million Americans in poverty to 43 million Americans in poverty. Drop. And part of the reason is because the number of Americans who lack health insurance continued to decline, fell 1.3 percentage points to 9.1%. Used to be 10.5% of Americans didn't have health insurance. Now it's 9%. And one of the main reasons why the ones that don't still don't is because, well, a state like mine, state of Virginia, where the Republican Party in Virginia is keeping its own citizens from getting health care, even though it's already paid for, doesn't cost the Virginia government a penny, doesn't cost Virginia taxpayers a penny. In fact, we've already paid for it through our federal taxes. Instead, Virginia has designated that this money, which would go to help poor Virginians, instead will go to people in, well, surrounding states. So congratulations, West Virginia and Ohio and Maryland. You're getting our income because our Republican leaders don't want our people to have it. You might say, why are we doing so well right now? Why is 2015 such a big year instead of 2014? Well, the answer is that the sequester, the Republican plot to strangle the government, to keep from government spending, has stopped. And that's a reason why this year was so good. What you find, and this is kind of my thesis for this hour, what you find is that Republicans are doing best, working really hard to stifle growth, to prevent income from going to middle-class and poor Americans. And sometimes they succeed. When they shut down the government, it harms everybody. When they deny health care to everyone, it harms out of the way and allow a Democratic president to do what he wants, to do a stimulus package, allow the Federal Reserve, appointed by this president, and our really, really good Federal Reserve chairman. I'm a big fan of Janet Yellen. I think she's the best Federal Reserve chairman in my lifetime. Guess what? It works. Now, could we have faster growth? We could. We need more infrastructure spending. Again, Republicans oppose that. But let no one doubt, when it comes to economic growth, it's the Democratic Party that knows how to deliver it. Republicans just get in the way. One sad statistic, the only thing that isn't great, is that you find that the vast majority of the income increase for poor and middle-class people comes in the cities and in the suburbs. Rural America is still suffering. And indeed, if you want to understand the source of Donald Trump's appeal, just look to rural white people in America. They're the ones who are hurting the most. And again, I would argue it's because of Republican policy. See, blue states are doing better than red states. They always do. States run by Democrats and liberals have a better economy than states run by Republicans. And you find, for example, the stock market's at a record high. So the rich are getting richer, too. No question about it. It's happening at all levels. The states that expanded Medicaid are growing at their fastest pace. They're seeing their uninsured rate decline at the fastest pace. The ones that haven't, like my state of Virginia, well, here's an example right here. So uninsured for states that are taking Obamacare, that are expanding Medicaid, that are implementing the Affordable Care Act, is at 7%. Those that aren't, like my home state of Virginia, are at 12%. There's a lot of statistics here, but let the heart of it be clear. If you want economic growth, if you believe in a strong middle class, if you think that all Americans should succeed, including the poor, including the middle class, you got to be voting for Democrats, and not just Hillary Clinton. You got to be voting for Democrats in the Senate and in the House, because these policies help increase economic growth. And who's in the way of economic growth? Well, the Republican Party. Shutting down the government harms economic growth. Denying health care harms economic growth. Trying to cut Social Security, cut Medicare, trying to increase drug prices. Remember, Democrats want to allow Medicare to negotiate to get cheaper drug prices. Republicans want to make sure that drug prices are as high as possible. Look at bank regulation. Democrats want to make sure that places like Wells Fargo Bank, we have a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that's fining Wells Fargo for charging all these bank fees and opening up bank accounts that people don't need. And again, Republicans are opposed to this regulation. They think somebody like Donald Trump can cheat someone out of a bunch of money, whether they're a bank or just a con artist, that should be allowed. And the real question is, why aren't the Trumpists jumping to this? Think about who a Trumpist is, someone who supports Donald Trump. Who are these people? Well, as Hillary Clinton pointed out, and I think she's right, half of them, or maybe half isn't the right number. She apologized for using the word half. But a certain large proportion of them are in the basket of deplorable. They're the racists, the homophobes, the anti-Semites, the Islamophobes, the people that are just full of hate. Now, we're not going to convince a KKKer to ever be happy with Democrats, because we believe in a culturally diverse country with all kinds of people, all religions, all ethnicities, all races, all sexual orientations, men and women, all living together in equality under the law. They're never going to be happy with Democrats. And frankly, I don't think we want their support. They can keep supporting the Republican Party. But that's not all of Donald Trump's support. The average Trumpist, you know, if they're not racist, if they're not sexist, homophobic, and so forth, they don't hate Mexicans, then they're just probably an uneducated, rural, white person, probably a man, who is struggling. And this data shows that those people truly are struggling. So one of the things I've been talking about is a Democratic plan for rural America to increase their wealth, just like we've successfully done for people in the cities and suburbs. This, by the way, is exactly what Lyndon Johnson did. There's a reason why we have the best poverty reduction under President Obama than we've had in 50 years. Because 50 years ago, in 1966, 67, 68, was the War on Poverty. That was the Rural Electrification Program. This was Lyndon Johnson's program to to decrease poverty in America, and it worked. By giving electricity to rural areas, by providing water to rural areas, we took people in deep poverty in places like West Virginia and brought them into the modern age. Well, the job's not done, folks. We still have to do more for rural America. And one of the best ways, I think, to help rural America is to do more infrastructure. I don't mean roads and bridges for rural America. Rural America has lots of roads and bridges. Frankly, it's the cities and suburbs that need roads and bridges. Rural America is losing population. They don't need more roads and bridges. And factories, well, factories are hard to do. One way to do it, of course, would be to ban the kind of outsourcing that Donald Trump does all the time with his vodka made in one country and his ties made in another country and virtually nothing made in America. One of the ways I would do that would be through tax policy that Hillary Clinton supports, making it more profitable to be at the tax system to have jobs here at home than abroad. But also to provide a different kind of infrastructure to rural areas, namely internet, broadband internet. Same kind of good internet that you and I have. The reason you can watch my show right here on Facebook, the same kind of thing that's down right now. Damn you, Verizon, and can't get through as easily. That's why you see this phone here I'm talking on. This is what rural America needs. And it wouldn't even cost that much. I mean, rural electrification and water costs a lot of money, but it changed the face of America. It allowed people in rural communities to live their lives and to be part of the modern age. That's what I believe broadband internet would do. The Democrats have a fantastic economy. It's time that we shared it for everyone. Not the Trumpists who are in the basket of deplorables, not the racists and sexists and people who hate Muslims and Mexicans, but the other Trump supporters, the middle class, poor people who are just struggling to get by, need to understand that the Democratic policies will help them escape poverty. If you want proof, here it is, front page of the Washington Post today. And all they're doing is citing census statistics, so this is a neutral source. It's also important that we recognize that the people who are very rich, the establishment Republicans, the people who are not Trumpists, but the ones who generally made rich by Republican policy, the billionaires. So, by the way, Donald Trump's going to help a lot because he's going to cut taxes for the billionaires. He's really not going to do anything for the people he claims to have their support. He may make them feel good by attacking Mexicans and Muslims, but that attacking Mexicans and Muslims does not make anybody richer, does not make the poor white guy in West Virginia richer. It might make him feel better if he's full of hate, but for the half that aren't in those basket of deplorables, it doesn't make them richer. We Democrats would. And guess what? The billionaires are doing fine under Obama, too. As I said, the stock market's at record highs. If you agree or disagree with my thesis about this, give me a call. Let me know. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Is it true, as I claim, that the economy runs better under Democrats, the economic growth is better among Democrats, and Republican policies slow economic growth and make it. Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. But hopefully you can hear me just fine. Call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'm bragging today. I'm bragging about economic policies of President Obama and just shows that the Democrats, frankly, know how to handle an economy. The Census Bureau has reported the greatest economic report we've seen in 50 years. We have improving job market, low inflation, rising wages, particularly for low-earning workers. And you know what did best for them? You know what really helped? Local and state initiatives to increase the minimum wage. That apparently did more to take Americans out of poverty than anything else. Jason Furman, the chairman of Obama's Council of Economic Advisors, said the news is the growth rates. In 21 reports, I've never seen one like this, never seen one better than this. So the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, is saving people money by giving more people health insurance. Economic policies are increasing wages, particularly for low-income workers and middle-income workers, and they have the best wages since, 1999, when Bill Clinton was president. That means we're almost back to where we were before George W. Bush took his hands on the economy and the Republican Party ran it into the ground. The question is, why do wages go up under Democratic rule? Why does the middle class do better? Why do the poor do better? And why do the rich do better, too? Well, these are things I want to talk about this hour and encourage you to call in to discuss at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Just a few more facts, and again, I'm reading from the Washington Post article, front page article on this census report. The Agriculture Department said that hunger in America declined substantially for the first time since the recession. The unemployment rate is under 5%. 4.9%, and wages, even after adjusting for inflation, are up nearly 2%. So, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, get that music going. Happy days are here again. Again, we'll go to the lines 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We're going to have to take a break very shortly, so Michael from the Bronx on line 3, talk to me, and then we'll talk more after the break.
Hey, Mark, what's up, guy?
Hey there. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know something? This goes to show that the Republicans, the registered Republicans, don't realize how much they are being duped. And
yeah.
I can go as far back as the ever-growing, and they're still talking about it, still debating, saying, let's keep the Affordable Care Act but get rid of Obamacare.
Now, which, of course, for those that don't know, it's exactly the same thing. It's just the Republican nickname for the Affordable Care Act. When they see how many people are sticking out of poverty, they may not want to call it Obamacare anymore. They may want to call it Romney Care.
But then, I know you say you have to go to a break, but then it all ties in also as to how ignorant they are, even as far up as the ongoing debate that I'm sure you've been hearing about Colin Kaepernick and his kneeling during the national anthem. I mean, I'm sorry, but I find that these Republicans are just quick to voice out stuff and don't even stop to think before they speak. They don't even stop to listen to exactly what they're saying.
I do have to go to my break, Michael. I'll say this. I'm not quite sure what the connection is with Kaepernick. I think he has an absolute right to express his point of view. He has a free speech right to do whatever he wants. I myself wouldn't be kneeling during the national anthem, but I certainly support his right to do that. That is part of what makes America great. We have the right to dissent. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
In an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from Washington. If the sound's a little weird today, it's because Verizon has messed us up. Apparently we're on hold with them. So that's a problem. That's a problem. They need to have better service. And if they don't like being told that on the radio, well, they should give us better service. Anyway, we're talking about the great economy and the largest increase in income in 50 years. In fact, the economy is almost right back to where it was before George Bush took control of it and drove it into a ditch. And this is not for Republicans' lack of trying. Indeed, the Affordable Care Act would be far more successful if the Republican governors allowed their constituents to get health care. We know that about half the states don't, including my home state of Virginia. But in the states that are where it's allowed, it's working. Indeed, the uninsured rate is down to 7%, the lowest ever, and it's 12% in the states that don't allow the Affordable Care Act. We know that the minimum wage, more than anything else, is increasing American wages. And interestingly, the people that did best in the Obama economy were those at the middle and income and lowest income levels. The rich did better, too. Everyone's richer. But guess what? The people at the bottom of the ladder did the best. When's the last time you've heard that? You may not have heard that in a very long time. I'll get back to Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx. I know he has more to say. Go ahead, Michael. Line three.
Hey, Mark. Thanks again. So I started off by pointing out about the Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. And like you had said, they're one and the same, but there's still people out there who don't even realize that. And then they're listening to like so Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all the other right-wing pundits that's just blatantly lying to their faces and filling their minds with just the utmost disgusting partisan hate or negativities, whatever you can think of. And that's why I went to the Kaepernick situation, that they're criticizing him, but not even stopping to think of how we treat each other could be more demeaning to the flag than what these right-wingers are speaking of. They keep calling Hillary Clinton liar, liar, crooked Hillary, crooked Hillary, but don't even pay attention to what Donald Trump and the Trump University, just to say the least of the scandals surrounding Trump. I mean, they also want to keep saying, oh, the natural choice is life, pro-life, pro-life, and abortions. They want to trivialize abortion, but then keep saying more guns. They want to keep going about, you know, gun violence without any gun safety reform. I mean, I can go on and on, but I think you see what I'm dealing with there. It's Republican ignorance.
My point is this, that whatever you think on all these other issues, abortion or guns or whatever, the Republicans just aren't good for the economy. And so those that are supporting Donald Trump because they think he'll be better on the economy are just damn wrong. The Republicans are harmful to the economy. If you, you know, want to be, if you're a racist or you hate Muslims or Mexicans, okay, well, you do have a party. You have the Republican Party. But if your goal is economic growth for Americans struggling in poverty or even middle-income Americans, obviously the Democrats are your choice. Thanks for calling, Michael. I appreciate it.
Right, too.
Let me go to Helen in Ithaca on line four. Hey, Helen, how are you? Helen, are you there? Line four. Did we lose Helen? Looks like we lost
Helen. I'm still here.
All right. Let's go to Reggie in Georgia then on line one.
How you doing, Mark? Happy hump day to you guys.
Oh, there you are. Hey, Reggie. Happy Wednesday to you.
Yeah, okay. If we have such a strong economy under President Barack Obama, why does nobody know it? Why aren't, you know, why the, shall we say, the Republicans, the radical right-wing conservative Republicans, whether they be politicians, radio or TV talk show hosts, are still, well, denying it and saying that we don't?
Well, because it's easy to lie to people. It's amazing how many people, so they're not going to believe us. They're not going to believe President Obama. They're not going to believe Hillary Clinton. They're not going to believe Democrats. They're not going to believe the Washington Post or CNN or apparently the United States Census. All they're going to believe is what they watch on right-wing media or learn from right-wing media sources, and they're being lied to. And you got to remember, these are people who are largely uneducated, don't know the facts, aren't willing to go to the facts. Interestingly, there are some conservative groups who are honest. And, in fact, there's James Shirk, an economist with the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank, called the statistic, quote, welcome growth that is long overdue, unquote. So conservative economists recognize that this is correct. But a lot of people are being lied to, and we just don't live in an age where we have Walter Cronkite telling every American the same thing anymore. What we have is we have people being told different things by different people, and they just aren't going to believe the truth. Now, one thing that is true, though, Reggie, and it is important, is that the one negative in all this economic data is that the people who are being harmed the most are those in rural America. It's not right. so much that they're being harmed, but they're not seeing the improvements that we see in cities and suburbs. One reason, by the way, is that in blue areas of America, in democratically controlled areas, states and localities, they've increased the minimum wage. And that helps a lot of people at the lower end of the economic scale. But in rural red states, they have to continue on $7.25 an hour, and that's really harmful to them. So right. those people are more likely to support Donald Trump, but they're unlikely to understand that it is Republican policies and not Democratic policies that cause their dismay, and that's right. a problem.
Right, and instead of them talking about or focusing on that or even Obamacare, they're still focusing on or psychotically obsessing on about or over Hillary Clinton's medical health condition, if she has any.
What's
the thing about that?
I'll probably talk about that at the end of the broadcast. I think Hillary Clinton reminds me, frankly, some ways of my own mother, someone who, even when she's sick, would do her best to help us out and
right.
didn't want anyone to worry about her. And
right.
I think actually that's an admirable thing, although obviously for a presidential candidate, it didn't work out as well for her as it should have. Thanks
yeah.
for calling, Reggie. I appreciate it. Let me go to, I think we have Helen back now. Helen from Ithaca on line 4. Helen, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before, but I can
okay.
hear you now.
I don't
Wonderful.
Know. You have Verizon. I have AT&T.
Well, there you
They're
go.
Both bad.
You don't have the troubles that we're having right now in studio. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. What are your thoughts on Democratic economic policy and why it's succeeding so much?
Well, I think why the economy works better under Democrats, this is like I guess philosophy of money 101 or something. When the money moves around, the economy is good. When it stagnates, the economy is bad. It's really like pretty basic common sense stuff. But and the Democrats do that. So, and under Republicans, if they're like aimed, like trying to aim for some kind of political philosophy of fascism or something, they're doing the best they can to get there. And then maybe after that, they'll head for feudalism. But when
I think Republicans, what they're doing is they're trying to aid the people that give them money. That's their goal. So,
yeah.
for example,
well,
let's say you've got the Koch brothers, and they want to pollute the rivers because that makes them greater profits. Well, the Koch brothers
ahead.
Have the money, so they'll pollute the rivers. Or let's say you've got a billionaire that doesn't want to pay his workers a minimum wage because that would cut into
yeah.
his billions in profits. Well, he'll give, $1 million to the Republican Party. The Republican Party will shave $10 million off his workers' wages. So I think the Republicans are simply out to please the people that pay for them. And
right.
That's who they are. But
yeah.
what's interesting
and life is short, and why don't I live it as corruptly as possible? And, if I really am an evangelical Christian, we'll see what hell is like after this all ends. All right, I'm getting a little too dramatic there.
Is that the people who support, for example, Donald Trump, you've got a few who are in that billionaire class who, let's face it, are voting for him or supporting him for good reason, at least in their mind. He will likely make them richer. He will transfer money from the poor to the rich. It's what he's done all his life. He cheats poor people. He's reverse Robin Hood. That's what he does. And he will almost certainly raise taxes on the poor and give that money to billionaires. So for them, it's a rational choice. But they're a very, very small percentage of his support. Most of his support, Hillary Clinton said half. We don't really know the percentage, but a huge amount of Donald Trump's support is poor people who benefit from Democratic policies, but are racist or Islamophobic, or they don't like Mexicans, or they don't like some other people and men who don't want women to have equality, and they're never going to be happy. Because it's not about economics for them. They would rather spend all their time hating someone else who's different from them than actually achieving more for their family. And that's why, frankly, I didn't mind what Hillary Clinton said, the basket of deplorables. I think it is deplorable. And she didn't say that all Trump supporters fit into this category. She just said, she said half. Again, whether it's 40% or 60% doesn't really matter. The point is that we have to reach out to the other Trump supporters, the people who really are suffering, the people who, according to the latest census data, are being harmed most of all in the current economy, or at least not helped, and that's rural America. and it's actually for Trump supporter, the rural white America, but really all of rural America needs our help, and that's why I want to do this kind of infrastructure spending that I'm encouraging, not
exactly.
roads and bridges for rural America,
exactly.
but internet broadband, a way for them to join
right.
the modern age.
Right. That's 2 points I want to make is infrastructure. Every year I just see everything deteriorating, more potholes, more bridges breaking, more sidewalks falling apart, and we have people who need jobs and they need money, and then they spend the money, and that's how
do.
The economy works. Yeah.
You know, my theme today is Happy Days Are Here Again. The reason why the New Deal worked is precisely because it got people working again. People pretend that government spending is some kind of waste. No, government spending is as good as any other spending. It depends. Some is wasteful. Most of it is not. When you build a bridge that lasts 50 years, this isn't something that helps some government bureaucrat. This is something that allows cars and trucks to cross that river and have less traffic jams and get more goods to market and cheap, make it less expensive to get your groceries. So this is not some wasteful government program. This is money that helps everybody. That's what infrastructure does. And the real question is, how do we get this message to the Trumpists of America? And I don't know that I have an easy answer for that.
Well, they should remember the TVA, Tennessee Valley Authority.
That would require electricity. They don't remember it because it happened in the 30s, and there are not many people around who remember the 1930s, or at least they might maybe alive then.
We don't have civics classes anymore.
That's right. And remember that among college-educated people, Hillary Clinton is beating Donald Trump in a landslide. It's the uneducated. I think he even said at one point, thank God for the uneducated or bless the uneducated.
Yeah.
I forgot the exact word. He loves the uneducated.
He loves the uneducated.
That's what he said, right. Well, you can understand why he loves the uneducated. One thing I'm doing, Helen, you'll find very interesting. I am going on assignment for Swiss Radio. I do all kinds of radio. People don't even know. I do Australian radio, English, French, Canadian.
Oh.
Well, a Swiss radio station has sent me on assignment starting tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow and Friday. I'm going to West Virginia. I live in a purplish-blue state, Virginia, and I'm going to one of the reddest states in the United States, West Virginia. I'm going to a town that's 93% white, relatively rural, and a state where Donald Trump is well-loved. And we're going to record some of my discussions with
Trumpists.
And I'll be playing some of those hopefully on the air for you so you can hear a great exchange, because I guarantee you, they just don't believe me. I don't know how you get someone – here Donald Trump says believe me, tells him a bunch of lies, and people believe him. And I can give him a bunch of facts and statistics and the Census Bureau, and they don't believe me. How do you prove that the earth is round to someone who doesn't believe in science? How do you prove that climate change is real to someone who doesn't believe in science? How do you show economic statistics to people who don't believe in economics? It's really hard to do, but that's what I'm going to try to do tomorrow and Friday on Swiss Radio.
All right.
They're looking at rural America versus red America, and I'll try to play some of those clips for you on the air next week.
Yeah. Well, je vous souhaite bon courage, alors. And there's a woman named
I actually may speak some French there, but I won't play that part on the
No, but Rothschild, she's a very celebrated sociologist. She did like exactly that same thing. You should check that out.
It'll be an interesting place for me. I've been to West Virginia. I've never been to this area of West Virginia.
No,
she did it in
Louisiana. She went down there and lived with people. And you know what? They all liked Bernie Sanders.
Well, there you go. We'll see. We'll see what they have to say, and I'm sure they'll teach me some things too. Anyway, thanks for calling in, Helen. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, there's still one last opportunity to do so. Give us a call at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Happy days are here again. Your cares and troubles are gone. There'll be no more from now on.
Happy days
again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Happy days are here again. Welcome back to Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. That, of course, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's campaign song in the 1930s. And indeed, he got us out of the Great Depression. Happy days were here again. Well, a new study by the census shows that we have the best economy in 50 years when it comes to increasing wages, low inflation, low unemployment. We're doing really well. Thank you, President Obama. Bunch of callers on the line. I may not be able to get to you all. That's what happens when you call late to the show, folks, but I'm going to try. Tamara in Missouri, line 3. How are you?
How you doing, Mark? Long time no talk to you.
It's been a while.
I live in the world of Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And one of the main things that I see as a problem and why they love Trump is because of their churches. Their churches tell them to vote Republican, that it's okay to pollute the rivers and the stream and to strip mine and get the money and the resources.
Do the churches
because
really say
God
that? I mean, Tamara, I know
God,
churches
God
are
is going to
and,
fix
and they're,
it,
they're anti-choice. But do they actually say it's okay to pollute the rivers? I mean, I would think that fundamentalists would at least care about the environment, no?
Oh, no, they don't. They think God will fix it.
Will fix
that
the pollution
we
in the environment?
Do,
really? Huh.
Whatever.
When I
remember,
read Genesis,
it's in the rapture.
I read Genesis, and Genesis says that mankind has to take care of the environment and animals and trees and everything.
But it's in the rapture that God will fix everything, that he'll just bring them up to heaven, and everything will be just fine, and the earth will be reborn.
Wow. Maybe so.
That's what they believe.
And that's what they believe.
And then they...
Go ahead.
And all they do is listen to right-wing radio.
Well, that's true.
Hannity, O'Reilly.
The question is, how do you persuade someone like that to actually consider the fact that they may not have the entire truth? How do you do?
Oh, I don't even bother anymore. I gave up.
Yeah.
There's no talking to them. Facts mean nothing, and they are more apt to believe the guy on the radio than they are you with a piece of paper in your hand showing them the facts.
I guess so. Well, we may have one of us on another line, Tamara. Thank you for your call. Let me go real quick, because we don't have much time, to Kenny in South Carolina on line 4. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
Okay.
You're on the air, Kenny.
Hello?
Yes, you're
yes.
on the air.
Can you hear me? Okay,
yeah,
you were talking about how the Great Depression and how Roosevelt really brought it back, but actually, if you look at it, it's a long, long process that played out. And actually, Roosevelt extended it. And if you'll look back through history, actually, you know, you hear that the Great Depression was caused by the 1929 stock market crash.
And by
that's
the
normal thing you hear. But if you look by April of 1930, the stock market had rebounded to its
right,
normal
so I'll
level.
Tell you what happened, Kenny. Herbert Hoover extended the Great Depression because what he tried to do was balance the budget, and that's the wrong time to balance the budget. And what he did was he cut spending and he increased taxes, thinking that that would help our economy. It was exactly the wrong way to go, and that's why the economy, you're right, got a lot worse in 1930, 31, 32. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt came there, they were in terrible, terrible economic depression. It did take several years to get us out, and one of the things that he did that was wrong in 36 is he started to stop the spending. He started to believe what were called the classical economists of the time that told him, now you have to balance the budget. He started to do that, and the economy started going down again. Finally, he rejected those advisors and said, you know what? Government spending is the only way to get us out. And that's what he did in 37, 38. The economy started booming. And then came World War II, a heck of a lot of government spending. We spent more than our entire gross domestic product, and our country came roaring out. So by the time Franklin Roosevelt died, we had a very, very strong economy. Thank you, everybody, for your calls. If you want more information on my show, go to marklevinetalk.com. And I'm heading to West Virginia tomorrow to talk to some Trumpists. Thanks so much for listening.